We're in the middle of a series called Wounds, and we're in episode 3 already. We're in the middle of episode 3, and it's going to be kind of like about me and God. And I know my teachers just hated that. It's God and I. No, not in this situation. It's me first because I'm the bigger problem. Yeah, it's not about grammar. It's about the order of taking responsibility. We've learned a little bit in this series, I hope, that we also cause as much wounding as we've received wounding from others. And that's hard to admit that. Because we want everyone else to change, and we always are the victim. Right. Not true. And we have to realize we have wounds we need healing from, but we also have to realize we've inadvertently or intentionally wounded someone else. We also have to work on that. That's our job, right? That's what we're supposed to do. I don't know if anybody else can relate, but as humans, we have these tendencies called sin tendencies. We're going to talk about them a little bit. It's a hard truth also that's going to be talked today that sometimes God allows wounds in our lives. And I had to learn to come to accept that he loves me and he knows best. And that's not easy. If you've ever thrown a fit when you're disciplined as a child because you wanted something, you look back, oh, man, I'm glad they did that. They didn't let me jump off the building. I was 6 years old. That would have been crazy. You know, I cried, what are you doing? I could jump off this building. No, and back then, you may get a SWAT. I would get a SWAT, you know. Thank you. Saved my life with that SWAT, you know. That's just my life. God knows best. All of us have boo-boos. And the sad part, all of us are going to have more boo-boos. True. Wounds are going to come. And I like to prevent things. I'm a preventer of problems as best I can. And I could live most intentionally in flowing of the Holy Spirit in continuous unison, and I'm still going to expect wounds going to come in my life. Yeah. It's part of our life. All of us have them. You know, I've had some deep woundings this month. It's been a tough month for woundings for me. But the great thing is God has a cure. God has a cure. Last week talked about the wounding of family and friends. Anybody? Oh, yeah. Family and friends, they'll get you. They'll get you. Family and friends will get you. And guess what? You got them too. And then we talked about the good wounds of good friends. Like, don't jump off that building, bro. And the bad wounds of bad friends. Yeah, come over here and just be miserable with us because we hate everything too. Yep. Bad friends will do bad things, you know. Here's a little side note because we're going to talk about tough stuff today, not like I haven't been. You know, wounds by itself is a touchy subject, no pun intended. But side note is when you talk about sin and money, there are two topics in the church that will crush revival in a heartbeat. Don't talk to me about that. Make me feel good. I just want to worship and throw myself on the ground and be hugged 4 times and hope someone takes me to lunch. Church. You know? But we have to understand that our wounding comes from our sin nature. You know? And we must fight back. We got to fight back. Say wounds. We're going to cover self wounds today and God wounds. So I'm going to put up a grounding scripture. This one is like our Christian mission statement, I think, maybe. 1 Peter 2:24-25. He personally carried our sins. Say, sin is real. That's something they're trying to elude in the world. That's not truth. There's no such thing. If God says there's sin, guess what? There's sin. It doesn't matter how I feel about it. It doesn't matter. If he says it is, then I have to go, okay, you're Lord, you're in charge. I got to alter me. Right? That's just what it is. So he carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as an altar of sacrifice. So that. Why did he do all that? Why? So that we might die to sin. So if sin doesn't exist, why did Jesus die? See how the world would get you on sins and no such thing. Just love the one who is. Do what you need to do. What feels good. Come on. Just, you know, can't we all just get along? Yeah, we can all just get along, but sin's still sin. And our culture wants to erase that. But there's no salvation without understanding that there's sin. And I don't talk about money or sin hardly ever behind this. this pulpit. So don't get nervous, but I'm going to talk about some of it. Money's not involved. It says this, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and the power of sin, and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you who believe have been healed. For you were continually wandering. Any wanderers? If you ran into Jesus, wander around, try a little bit of this, try a little bit of that, you know. I'll try that, I'll try this. Everything. Yeah, there's truth in everything. No, there's not. That ain't the truth. There's the way, the truth, and the life. And I tried all other ways and other thoughts of truth. I wandered until I ran into Jesus, until he tracked me down. Wandering like so many sheep. Anyone? Yeah. Don't elbow your neighbor. But does anyone know of anybody who used to serve God and was plugged into church and you thought God was doing amazing things in life and they're no longer doing it? They're wandering around like so many sheep. You got anybody in your head?
Yeah.
Pray for them this week, every day. Every day this week, pray for them. Also, I'm going to just do this now just because I have the mic. We have some folks in our body that are dealing with need some real physical healings, miracles. You know, miracles. It's hard to pray for miracles because then there's a hard thing. You know, most time miracles aren't like, you know, I need peanut butter. You know, miracles are like the army of the biggest army in the world is up against us, and we're out in the desert, and we've been wandering, and we're really hot, and there's this river we can't cross, and we're going to die. We need a miracle, right? Yeah. Miracles are like, hey, he's been dead for 3 days. He smells. Yeah. Miracles are hard things, but there's some hard things that people are dealing with. We've got some folks dealing with chemotherapy. Tell me, that's not hard. So can you just do me a favor right now? I want you to think of somebody you know that needs physical healing right now. I don't know what God's going to do, but I know what he can do. So let's just stop the service real quick and ask him. Think of who your person is. Grab a couple of them. Father, we're asking for the miracle power of Jesus Christ to invade their bodies, minds, and souls. Set them free, Father, the wandering sheep and those, Father, with cancers, Father, those with diseases, Father, that the medical community says it's impossible. We'll just keep doing this. Lord, we're going to ask you to do what you do, Lord God, and we're going to praise you like Miley's saying today, in the middle of the mystery. Whether we see it or not, whether we do it or not, we're going to praise you no matter what you decide to do. My praise is not predicated on your power. My praise is predicated because you love me and you saved me. So my praise is saved for you forever, no matter what you do to me. But Lord, we're asking you to heal our brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus. And the church said amen.
Amen.
Amen. For by his wounds you were healed. You've been healed. You were continually wandering like so many sheep. But now you have come back. Say, Lord, I'm back. I'm back. I'm back from my wandering. I was wandering, but I'm back. Right? But now you've come back to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls. Self-wounds, I'll just give you a definition just in case. It sounds pretty simple, but self-wounds are things that we do to wound ourselves. We're going to talk about self-wounds today. We all have had self-wounds, emotional self-wounds. Ever beat yourself up over something?
Yeah.
Criticize yourself so bad that you're convinced that you're the worst person on the planet. You can smack her. You ever have a spiritual wound yourself? You said, I'm not, God can't do them. I'm not going to. And you're just fussing with God before you know it. You're just so wounded, you can't even. It's hard to touch your Bible because you know he's going to say something you don't want to hear. How about ever a physical wound, right? Ever wound yourself physically? I know when I was a young person, I didn't know how to deal with my inner emotions. When I was stressed, I would punch things. I might cut myself. I would wound myself. Anybody? Yeah. Courage. There's courage. Thank you, the courageous. I love this church so much. You don't even know. I like to be here all the time. You guys are the most amazing people that I know. So I just love you. Say sin. It's not a cuss word. It is a curse. It's not a cuss word. It is a curse. And quite honestly, in my opinion, not acknowledging sin, like I said, is rejecting salvation. So salvation is offered from our sins, right? Let's start. And I want to do this really tough scripture. It's called Nahum 3:19. And it's a sad example of those who would not take the cure. There's a cure offered. But when we reject the cure, what's left for us. Right? This is what he says. There's no relief and healing for your hurt. Your wound is incurable. I gave you the cure and you didn't want it. Well, I want a different way, so now I'm the way. Well, can I work myself out of this? No, there's no works involved. There's one cure. There's no relief for your healing, your hurt. Your wound is incurable. All who hear the news about you will clap their hands over what has happened to you. And I picture that emoji that goes, oh, dude, are you really making that dumb decision? Ah. Ever do that? Ever have that done about you? I know, I guarantee my grandmother had gave herself black eyes. I could hear her in Irish. Sean, boy, why are you doing that? Well, because I'm dumb, Grandma, and I don't know Jesus. Anybody else? Just me and Jody Wilson Crawford, dumb. All hear the news about you. They're going to clap their hands and says, what has happened to you for your evil? For whom has evil not come continually? Like, you're always messing up, dude, and it's affecting other people. There's consequences to the choices we make. Not being perfect. Not being perfect. All of you take a big breath. Perfect is impossible. It says, be perfect as I am perfect. Means try and be holy. Come after me. Try and keep going. But at the end of the day, only Jesus. Right? Only Jesus. So this is not a condemnation day. It's not that at all. But we all have to admit that we blow it. And if we can't admit that we blow it, we're in terrible trouble. You know, the worst people in the world are people that talk about other people's blind spots. Wait, what? You believe that person just cut me off? Dude, you're driving like a maniac. I'm not a maniac. I took NASCAR classes. Awesome, dude, but you've still been a maniac. Ah, I'm a great driver. See, I think, so shouldn't all reasonable humans kind of understand this? We blow it, right? Humanity has issues. If you want to read about, read 1 Corinthians 6 on your own sometime. Read all about it. It'll help you. You're like, I don't know if sin exists. Just read there. If you're like, what is sin? I don't know. Here's a good cross sample of what God may call things that are sin. Say wounds. As I began to prepare about this difficult topic, I was glad we were small for a lot of reasons. One, I love intimate worship when it's really small and there's not a lot of people sometimes, unless the front is full. I love small group worship. But also, this is like one of those sensitive topics. When I have people that don't know me come and talk about it, like, that pastor. But if I love you, I got to share the topics that are hard, right? Because we all need it. Pastor needs it, right? So today, as I began to fix our eyes on what one of our biggest problems is, I found a video. A video that shows what our biggest, one of our biggest problems is. Do we have that video? Yeah. Yeah. I saw the enemy and he is me. What's my biggest problem, Lord? You are. Let me pull you over to the mirror. I'm going to fight that guy. Yeah, you should. He's your biggest problem. Often that is our issue. Our wounds really often, most often, come self-inflicted. They really do. Psalm 38:5. Psalm 38. Say, my wounds are loathsome and foul because of. Wait a minute. Wait, we weren't all together on that one. Let's do that again. My wounds are loathsome and foul because of. My wounds are loathsome and foul because Ed made me do it. He was so mean to me in the parking lot today. That Harold, he always causes me trouble. Right? No. My wounds are loathsome and foul because of my foolishness. I know. It's hard to suck it in and take that. But have no fear. There's an antidote near. There's an antidote. It's an underdog. I almost put an underdog up, but I feel like I just back off on the media, you know. You can't have a bear fight itself and underdog on the same Sunday. Like, what would happen? Bible, yeah, I told you. Hosea 6, 1 through 3. Now, this is cool because this is around 750 years before Jesus arrives. 750 years around, could be a little longer, but that, I just rounded down. This is about 750 years before Jesus arrives. Come and let us in repentance return to the Lord. Come and let us return in repentance to the Lord. And all last week, I don't know what everybody was up front for ministering, what you were given to God on the altar last Sunday, but it was the most beautiful Sunday in a long time. We had a lot of great ones. It was beautiful last Sunday to me. I looked up, because you're just praying. It's like, Lord, this is what we're supposed to do. And I don't know. And I look up, and it's full. And you all were just connecting with God about something in your life that you wanted forgiveness for. You need to forgive somebody. You needed healing. And it was like, I felt so beautiful, I just wanted to put it in a bottle. And every once in a while, when I'm having a bad day, I go, oh, yeah, that was good. It's beautiful, you know. Thank you, Lord, for the sip of that wonderful service, you know. Come, let us return in repentance to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. Now, I want to pause there and think about what we talked about last week, just a second. If the wounding of a good friend who corrects us is good for us, how much is the wounding and correction of God good for us? So what happens, the enemy just wants us to blame God for stuff. And some of the things that have happened in our lives are the absolute consequences of dumb and foolish decisions we've made that had nothing to do with God's will at all. Number one, wound. And then there are occasional wounds where he goes, no, I got to correct that. And it's going to sting a little. Happens. He says this, after 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he'll raise us up. I love that. That we may live before him. Now, is this prophetic cheekiness? Or is this maybe God's cryptic exposure to the world thing? This is what I'm about to do. So when Jesus rises, I can jump onto the scripture. 750 years ago, I told my guy, he was talking about what I was talking about. It's cool. It says that we may live before him. So, collect yourself for a second. Take a deep breath. Look at your neighbor and say, take a deep breath. We're about to dive. Okay. So let us know and become personally acquainted with him. What's your number one goal in all this? Why are you here? You know, the answer to the question is get personally acquainted with God. Personally acquainted with God. Why are you here? Personally acquainted with God. Why do you need to get cleaned up and repent from sin? Why? Because I want to stay personally connected to God. Yes. Yeah, that's my, I want to be with God, where God's doing. I want to follow him where he's at. This is what he's asking of us, right? To become personally acquainted with him. It's a five-diamond statement. And let us press on to know and fully understand the Lord. And I went, fully understand you, Lord. I have a hard enough time with the nuggets that you've given me. I can meditate on the things that I already know forever. Fully understand you seems impossible. But I would love to fully understand you in every moment I'm with you. Yeah. Fully understand what you want right now. We got the prophetic word today. What time do you have to move in? Now. I want to fully know him in my now as much as I can know him, right? His appearing is prepared. His appearing is prepared. Do you feel like we're on the clock? Does humanity feel like it's on the clock? Oh, yeah. There's a prepared time for everything. It says that every purpose under heaven. I'm starting to feel the preparation part of it again. I feel him prepping us for something way bigger than where we've been. I'm not talking about the numbers of the church. I'm not even talking about miracles. I'm not talking about signs and wonders. I'm talking about the very purpose you were created for. He wants to unleash in the earth because you are the church. And he's preparing us to be the church again. Fully, fully believe that. He is appearing, is prepared, and it is certain as the dawn. Say prepared and certain. He will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain, watering the earth. Say Jesus. So here we are so far. We know sin exists, and sometimes it's in us. Okay, we know that. We know Jesus is the antidote and the Lord. And we know that what God says is sin is sin. So if you have, like, I'm just not sure about the sin topic. Here's your homework. Go study it for yourself. Like, I don't know, what does God really say about sin? Take your Bible and go study it out. I'm not, without a teacher, just go read from Old Testament, New Testament, and get a compilation, and you'll have a good idea, maybe God's perspective on some things. Jesus amps it up. Yeah, don't murder. We got that one. Yeah, don't even hate like you do. Oh. That means I can't drive 101? No. please study the topic for yourself. And then when he shows you your wound, he's going to be faithful and just to heal it. That's what he does. Say wounds. Jeremiah 2:35. I won't be driving it home much longer, but I feel like in our culture, I got to put a stake in the ground. That's not easy to do. Pastors all over the place are pressured not to put stakes in the ground. And I'm not talking about judging people in their sin. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all have it. It's all an issue. You know? And there's certain consequences to those things. But we can't say it doesn't exist, and we can't not deal with it as the church. We just can't. It'd be great to get popular and have YouTube videos, but if I compromise the word of God for it, I'm nothing. I'm worse than nothing. I don't deserve the job. I'm not a shepherd. I'm hired to be popular. It's not what he asked me to do. He said, you keep saying, I am innocent. Surely his anger is turned away from me. Behold, listen very carefully. I will bring you to judgment and will plead my case against you because you say, I have not sinned. No. That's the problem with the world, to say, hey, no, you sinned. Let's just say it. No, there's no such thing as sin. That's going to be a problem for you because I know I sinned.
Right.
The first song, I was bawling all through it. Lord, you saved some knucklehead like me. I go back to them. Well, that's why worship sees me crying, because I know where I was and I know what God did for me. And it touches my heart every time I think about it. And I never want it to stop touching my heart. You know? We're maturing members of God's household, right? We talk about becoming this year more mature, right? So we have to admit at times our injuries have been self-chosen. Self-chosen. Why am I sad? Let's trace it back. Why am I angry? Let's trace it back. Why did this happen? Let's trace it back. I'm not saying everything, but if you're with me, you understand what I'm talking about this morning. I've seen the enemy, and lots of times he's me, right? We choose things that are not God's ways and desires, and that's what sin is, right? So I feel like we've plunged ourselves in there. We understand self-inflicted. I want to talk about maybe something that's even more sensitive to you. And that seems hard. So can you say this? Help me, Holy Spirit. All right. The sin topic's passed. I want to talk about God wounds. God wounds. Not wounds where you blame God and you realize it was your consequence of sin. I'm talking about actual God wounding. Intentionally wounding. God would never do that. Let's go check the scriptures out together, because I think that's a misnomer as well. It's hard because I don't want to get into it because I have such a great finale in 2 weeks, and I don't want to spoil it. There's a purpose for the wounds of God. We need them and the intense purpose in our life. And I want to talk about it, but I have to wait 2 weeks because Pastor Justin is coming next week. See, Pastor Justin is so busy. He's got family, which is wife and little kids. He works a job. He's out in the sun all the time. This guy's so busy. He's my teaching pastor. I don't expect anything else of him, but occasionally teach when he has a moment. And he had something on his heart. He goes, hey, I'm in this wound series. Like, God's speaking to me about something. I said, awesome. I'll have you speak that before the finale. That's something I wasn't going to cover. Thank you. So I'm looking forward to next week. But it's so hard because I want to get the finale. Look, your first session of counseling, usually with Ethos Counseling, goes a lot like this. Tell us, be vulnerable. Tell me all your problems. Tell me them all. And I'm going to poke on sore stuff. And we're our hour's up. Sorry, this search session is just more like ripping off a Band-Aid. Come next week, we'll give you some resolutions. That's how it feels, doesn't it, sometimes? The first session, that doesn't happen exactly that way. But I feel like we stir the pot. I don't want to stir the pot too much, but I want to give you a little salve. So maybe I'll give you a glimpse. It's a glimpse. We'll see. Because I believe we've been wounded for a purpose. So pause in your heart. Here we go. A God wound was the very turning point in the life of one of the greatest followers of Jesus Christ ever. I would debate that this person is probably the greatest disciple that has ever lived, that I'm aware of. There might be saints in heaven. We don't know their name. And God's like, you don't know this guy. but the guys that I know. Part of Paul's story is a wounding encounter with Jesus. See, Paul gets blinded from heaven. Who does it? Heaven. We're going to see it in a second. Acts 9, 1 through 2. Now Saul, he's Paul to be. Saul's Paul to be. Now Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Now here's a dude. Not only was he like, these Christians are terrible and we need to erase them from the face of the earth. Imagine if that happened here. And you, I want to pick a good saint. We got Jody Wilson. I want to pick a good saint, right? And some guy comes into town and drags Jody out in the parking lot and gathers a bunch of thugs and they beat him to death. Sounds outrageous, but that's what just happened to Stephen. Everyone loves Stephen, a good brother, servant, deacon. And Paul was like, here, let me hold your clothes so you don't get his blood on you. Die, Christian, die. That's Paul. That's who I'm talking about right now. He was relentless in his search for believers. He wasn't looking for a good church to hang out in. He was relentless for believers. He went to the high priest and asked for letters of authority from him to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any men or any women belonging to the way, I love that's the original name of the church is the way. I love that. The way that you're following. We're part of the way. Opens right up. What do you mean the way? Well, Jesus, you know, leads you right in. I love it. It's the way. Men and women alike, he could arrest them and bring them bound with chains to Jerusalem. Saul thought he was serving God. Saul thought he was serving God. Saul was a leader, but Saul needed to be wounded in his ill pursuits so that he could actually become the Apostle Paul he was always meant to be. You can stay your murmuring, murderous, threat-breathing self against everyone else, or we can let him wound us and change our life forever. The wounds of God are meant to change us forever. Acts 9:3-9. And as he traveled, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven. Where's the light from? A light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground. A heavenly attack has been unleashed on him. Who's in charge of heaven? Who's in charge of everything? Right? So God's unleashed an attack on Paul. And he heard a voice from heaven saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting and oppressing me? And Saul said, who are you, Lord? And he answered, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. Now get up and go. That's a message all by itself. Church is going to have a season that's time to get up and go. We're wounded and healed for a purpose. And if we don't get about our purpose, we're going to start wounding the body of Christ. So there's a time to get up and go. And that season's coming upon the church like never before. Going into the highways and the byways and finding those lost people that we know about, that God's healed us. And we're going to take Jesus into those places. It's time to get up and go. But we got to be healed first, right? We got to be healed first. Got to be healed first. And he answered, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told. What? That's hard for me. I don't like those kind of directions. I like to know the GPS like 4 or 5 steps out so I know what lane to get in. No, just, you know, wait for Siri to tell you. You will be told. No, I'm going to trust Siri. I don't like just, no, I'm going to tell you what to do later. Just do what I say now and I'll tell you later why. I don't even like that kind of instruction. No, every parent in the world said we would never do that to our kids. How many times have we done it? Right? We just don't like it. This is how we are. It says, get up and go to the city and you will be told what you must do. What you must do. The men who were traveling with him heard that and were terrified. They stood speechless, hearing the voice and seeing no one. I don't know if this is true, so this is a Pastor Sean thing. I'm stepping off the stage. I hope there's video footage in heaven. Oh, yeah. There are things I want to watch. Like, hey, could you play the creation video again? Yeah, I know. I love that. Yeah, Moses. I want that part where, come on. Fantastic. this is one of the ones. I want to watch this one. The guy's like, what's going on? And they're freaking out. And Paul's, you know, like, I want to see that video. What was that like? You know, I had those moments in my own life. I want to see Paul's moment. You know, it says, Saul got up from the ground. Though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. God wounded Paul and took his sight. That sounds like cruel God to me. That's abusive. Or is it corrective? So we got to change what our thoughts are. So some stuff that we do ourselves is really the abusive stuff. We abuse ourselves. But God's not an abuser. He's a corrector. And heaven had to bring a little wounding to Paul. He could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was unable to see for 3 days. All right, we'll lighten the loads. Ready to sing with me? Ready? Say, wounded by the light. Revved up like an apostle, you know. I don't know. But wounded by the light. That's like, what? Blinded by the light. Yeah, that's where they got it from. They stole it from this story. Made a famous song in the 70s. You should check it out. Manfred Mann is the original. The Boss does a good version too, which is Springsteen. A music education lesson for you. But it came from this moment. Blinded by the light came from right here. And it says he neither ate nor drank anything. So Paul's wounded. And God's wounds were forever going to change his life. Remember this. This is a simple thing. I'm not trying to be Confucius in this type of or Yoda. Remember, who it is you follow determines where you end up. Who it is you follow determines where you end up. Who it is you follow is where you end up. God and his friends can, God and our friends can give us runes to correct us and help our purpose. We should let them. We just have to admit that we've wounded ourselves. Our friends have wounded us, and we've wounded each other. And sometimes, some of those things got allowed in my life because I needed it. All right. If you haven't heard this story, I'm going to go through it quick. Jacob was wrestling with God at one point in time. And God had had enough, you know, and just kind of touched it. Says it touched his hip. He was limping forever, and he changed his name to Israel. Every time I look at my knee, this wound that I hated, depression, fought against it. I can never play basketball with my kids. I can never, and I was just in a funk. I was feeling pretty sad for myself. It's not fair, a 25-year-old guy take his leg. But God, I love you. I serve you. I do. You can have my life. All right, I'm going to stop fussing. And then one day I got the courage to ask him why. He said, because you were going after everything you thought you wanted. You were going to be the next undercover police officer. You're going to be Miami Vice. You were Don Johnson. That's where you're headed. Don Johnson, Tom Cruise. That was your mission impossible. It's all about saving the day and all about you being super tough and helping the world. And nothing to do with me. I need you to serve me someplace else. I need you right here. I said, no, Lord, I'd be a better undercover police officer because I was a bad guy than I would ever be a pastor. Don't do that. Lord, you're making a terrible mistake. Do you know my temperament? He said, yeah, that's why I had to allow that wound. I had to change the course of your life because you would have ran after everything you wanted and not what I wanted. And you would have called it serving me. Just like Saul. Say, blinded by the light. Right? Acts 9:10. Now in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias? And he answered, here I am, Lord. And I'll stop there. Because I want to summarize what Ananias' situation was. God asked him to go to see Paul, and who was actually Saul at the time. And that sounds great, but it's like saying, you know the guy that just killed Jody? approved of him being killed? Yeah. He's back in town. Like, oh, no. Yeah. He's out trying to kill all of us. Like, we're all in hiding. Yeah. Go see him. The murdering guy? The guy that killed my friend? Oh, I want to go see him. No, I can't see him that way. Humble yourself. You want to do what? Pray for him. The enemy? You never know what great enemy God can win and become a great soldier for him. But if we're not obedient to go bring healing to those that are severely wounded, how's the church ever going to change? He needs to be able to speak to Ananias and go, hey, Ananias, go over there. Pray for those guys. They're gangbanging over there, Lord. Yeah. Go find the biggest one. So I feel like he's moving in us again that way. God sent. The crazy thing is, when I looked at the scripture, I said, okay, God, you wounded him. And it says you would heal him. He said, yeah, I wounded him and I will heal him, but I'm going to use my church to do it. What? Ananias was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. He was part of the way, and Saul wasn't. He said, I wounded this guy, but I need my church to go and heal him. It's part of our purpose. That's just my preview for the next finale. Wounded for a purpose. We are wounded, absolutely wounded for a purpose. So let's get healed and whole. Let's let this be the year that we get healthy in every possible way. Why? Because that means he can loose us in the world to go bring healing to some of the craziest places. You want to see revival in the land? All those people that pop in your head, imagine if they were serving God and healed up themselves. Can you imagine? I mean, there's some world changers I'm thinking of. And it's part of our job is to go see those Sauls. So we wound ourselves. And sometimes heaven wounds us, right? I think it's time that we get whole again, amen? I know Dr. Heidi's going to be coming up in just a second, and she's going to do communion with us. Ananias was the church then. Who's the church now? Who's the church now? Who's the church now? You are the church now. So, in my opinion, this is going to be one of the greatest seasons we've ever seen. It's not going to be the easiest, but it's going to be one of the greatest. This is going to be the year that you walk healthier than you ever walked. Is he shaking your marriage? Good, let him shake it. Is he shaking your relationship with your brother and sister? Let him shake it. Is he shaking your relationship with him? Let him shake it. Let him shake anything he wants to shake so you guys can start producing the greater fruits again. Who wants stuff broken off their lives? I want stuff broken off my life this year. I got physical goals, emotional goals, spiritual goals I'm going after this year. I pray that I accomplish them, but I'm going to keep trying. Why? Because it matters. If the pastor's not healthy, then how can I preach healthy to you? Right? We're in this together. If Jesse's sick, then we're sick. Because he's part of the body. If Ed's got the sniffles, I feel the sniffles. We're all one. And that's the beauty thing about communion is Dr. Heidi comes up and talks to us about those things. I'm going to bring her up. And I'll have you repeat some things as she comes up to stage with me. I don't get to be there on stage at the same time. So it's just a way to hug her in front of you all. Okay. So this is really a ploy on my part. Say this with me. Paul was wounded. Paul was a baller. Paul was the church. Say, I am the church. I will use my wounds to heal the world because I too will be a baller for God. Here's Dr. Heidi.
I didn't know really fully what Pastor Sean was going to be talking about today, but as a counselor, I've been encountering a lot of people, especially in the, I don't know what generation's what. What is the 18 to 30? Is that Gen Z? Okay, that's what I thought. I've been encountering a lot with Gen Z. a lot of young people, the word narcissist is going around like everybody is a narcissist. As a clinical Christian counselor, I disagree with that. There are narcissists. But as much as that word is being thrown around, there's just a lot of really selfish people. But that doesn't make them a narcissist. And I'm not going to get into the whole clinical, you know, aspect of what narcissist really means. But there has been going around a lot of people, because of what Pastor was talking about, is how there's so many people that just want to be able to live life the way they want to, and I should be affirmed, and I should be accepted. And if you don't affirm and accept me in my sin, that must mean you hate me. And as a believer, there's certain things I cannot affirm and cannot accept because God does not affirm and accept them if we really read what God says in the Word. But that also does not mean that I hate you. And we've got to be very careful, because I don't define what sin is. Only God does. And I do believe that sin does get mistranslated by some, and we've got to be very careful with that. But if we truly do want to love and honor God, and we go into the Word with an open heart to say, God, is this sin? I believe He will show us, because He desires to be with us. He desires to be one with us. And so we need to recognize that it's not my opinion that matters. It's not your opinion that matters. It is only God's opinion that matters. But see, what often happens is that people feel that if you don't accept me as I am, that means you hate me, and I don't do either. But what happens in that is lots of times people look at even relationships today, then they say, if I had somebody controlling me and telling me what I did all the time, what was right and what was wrong, then I would be in a toxic and abusive relationship, and I would leave that relationship. But they often think, well, God is a tyrant because He's telling me what is right and what is wrong, and if I don't do that, then I can't go to heaven. And God is saying, this is what is sin. I want you to be with me forever. But if you don't want to follow my way, then, and you don't accept that now, while you are on earth, then why would I drag you to heaven with me to be with me forever? Because if you don't want it now, why would you be in my presence and do what I've called you to do, to where my blessings are for you? Because I don't want harm to you. That is my heart. That's God's heart. He's saying, if you don't want that now, why would you want to be in heaven with me forever, where there's just going to be constant praise for me? And so we have to recognize He's not a tyrant. He's one that says, I'm the one who breathed life. And I'm the one who is the creator of all things. And I called what is evil and what is good. But the thing is I'm going to remind you this before we get into communion, is that there was only one tree that He said, I don't want you to eat from. He said, eat from every other tree, even eat from the tree of life, because I want you to have life. But do not eat from the one tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And what that means is, you know, God never intended for us to know evil. That was not His intention. But He also, it wasn't His intention for us to know good. His intention was for us to know God. And God is good. But we often try to define what we think is good. And it's not my opinion that matters. It's only God's. And so today, I'm going to ask that as we get ready to take communion, we get ready to say, God, I want to receive Your love for me. And in all honesty, today, that looks different for some of us. Today, that's bringing conviction of sin. That's His love for me. Today, it's I have a wound in my heart or in my body, and God wants to heal that. That's His love for me. Some, we've been asking Him a question, and he's been wanting to say, and he's been saying, and we haven't accepted. He said, I said no. And that's my love for you. Because you don't know what's around the corner, but I do. And I'm trying to save you from what could harm you. And so Pastor started out with the scripture, 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25. And he read that in the Amplified Version. I want to read it to us in the Message. It says, this is the kind of love that you've been invited into. It's the kind of life that Christ lived. You see, he suffered everything that came his way so that you would know that it could be done, and also to know how to do it step by step. Jesus, he never did one thing wrong. Not once did he say anything amiss. And they called him every name in the book, and he said nothing back. He's trying to show us how to do it, church. He suffered in silence because he was content to let God set things right. And he used his servant body to carry our sins to the cross so that we could be rid of sin, free to live the right way, not my way. But the right way. His wounds became your healing. And you were lost sheep with no idea who you were or where you were going. But now you're named and kept for good by the shepherd of your soul. So if you would stand with me today. And if you would come and take an element, take it back to your seat. And then we're going to take communion together. But I'm going to ask that while Pastor Jody is even playing the guitar, I just want you to take a moment as you walk. Go ahead and walk forward and start taking your element. Take it back to your seat. But I'm going to ask you today, God, what is it that you are trying to say to me? Right now, I've got two ears and only one mouth. God, I'm going to stop talking and I'm going to listen. So just take a moment to hear what God has to say to you individually right now. This is the kind of life you've been invited to. It's the kind of life that Christ lived, and he suffered everything that came his way so that you would know that it could be done, and also to know how to do it step by step. Jesus, you took upon your body wounds. You freely did. Like your servant body, you laid it down. No man took it from you. No man demanded. No man dragged you. You laid it down as a servant body. You took upon your body wounds purposely for me. You did it for me. There's so many wounds that have been inflicted upon so many of us from other people through our lives. There's some that we've inflicted upon ourselves. But you took wounds on your body to even heal us from those wounds. I thank you, Jesus. And today, as we take this bread, we're reminded that your body had wounds on it. Intentionally. Your body was, as you in the Last Supper, you broke it and you said, this is my body broken for you. Jesus, today we thank you that we remember. Go ahead and take the bread and remember that the wounds upon his body were for my healing, for your healing. Go ahead and take the bread. Blood was required to be shed because blood requires, it resembles and it symbolizes life. You said once and for all, this is the last lamb that will ever need to be slain for the forgiveness of all sins, for the healing of all brokenness, And so today, we take the cup, remembering with grateful hearts. We don't take it passively because it is holy. This moment is holy. Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of my sins. And I want you to take a moment right now that if you know that you have sin in your life, now's the moment to pause before you take this cup and ask him to forgive you and ask him to heal you in the form of repentance by asking the Holy Spirit to help you to turn away from that sin, that it would entangle you no more, that it would have no dominion over your life no more. But today, we remember the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Just take a moment. You are not a tyrant in my life. You are my Lord, which means you are supreme controller. I have no dominion over my own life any longer. I've given that to you, God. And what a trustworthy place to put it. The one that loves me more than I could ever love myself. So thank you for laying your life down. Thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. And thank you for loving me even unto death. If you are grateful, take the cup. Jesus, I thank you for the things that you've spoken to each one of us individually today, that you've spoken to us corporately as a body of Christ. And I thank you that what you reveal, you desire to heal. So everything that is within us, Father God, that needs to come to the surface, I thank you that you would reveal it so that your hand from heaven would extend to bring healing to it. You are good in all your ways. We are so grateful for the God that we serve. We love you because you first loved us. But God, I thank you now for that constant connection and relationship we can have with you. Jesus, I pray you bless your people today, that you cause their hearts to rejoice, that I pray, Father God, not for just moments and pockets of happiness, but I thank you for the joy of the Lord that is their strength. In the name of Jesus, can you just tell Jesus, I love you? Amen. Go bless one another with some love right now. And let's thank God that we live in a country that we are free to say and worship the name of Jesus. Happy 4th of July to you all as well. Blessings.